And hello everybody, welcome to episode 20 of Victims of Fun. This is El Stevo. As usual, we are broadcasting live from Mr. Fujiwara's Top Ramen Shop in the Chiba District of Tokyo, right across from the Sailor Moon store. Come on down for all your ramen wants and needs, and then check out the Sailor Moon store if you're into that sort of thing. Yeah, a lot of people are. There you go. Also want to thank Anchor, the best podcast software on the internet. Makes everything easy. It's free. All the tools to make your own podcast are right there. And very easy to use controls. You can do it on your desktop or on your mobile phone. You can podcast, you know, on location. If you see aliens or something, you maybe get an interview with them. They monetize everything, can make some cash, and they will distribute your podcast to seven, it could be more, podcast distribution networks, including Spotify. So make sure you go on the Apple Play Store or Google Play and download Anchor and start your own podcast. And if you do, you can give Victims of Fun an email at victimsoffun@mail.com, and I will promote your podcast as long as you promote mine. Hey, we're on Instagram now. We're moving up in the world. So there's only one picture on there, and there's a picture of my lunch. But you can go on Instagram. Obviously, it's under Victims of Fun. And, I don't know. I got to start taking pictures of something. I just put my lunch up there. It was a hero. Or gyro, or gyro. However, you know, everybody always pronounces that thing different. You know what I'm talking about. G-Y-R-O. Is it gyro? Is it Giro, whatever. It's very good. And you need to go on Instagram, give us a follow. I'm going to start taking pictures. I don't know. I have a lot of pictures on my phone I could upload to it of places I've been and stuff. And I don't know. I'm also thinking of getting a logo. I mean, the logo that's on the Anchor FM website right now is the generic background thing for people who are just starting out their podcasts, but I'd like to get something more memorable. I want to get something like a background that has like a symbol on it, so if people see it, they're going to know that's Victims of Fun. Because eventually I want to stick that on merchandise, like on hats and face masks for this fake pandemic, you know, shirts and stuff like that. And I gotta think about design. I mean, I don't know what. I was thinking of just the initials VOF. And, you know, something cool. But I don't know, I'm not an artist. I can do stick figures. Like, even Cyanide and Happiness, like, if you ever read that webcomic, even their stick figures are better than mine. I mean, mine are just horrible. I have no drawing ability whatsoever. My talent is in writing and speaking. It's not in drawing. I mean, seriously, it's just not. So I gotta, you know, I could go on Fiverr, that website Fiverr, where you pay people to do stuff for you, like promote your podcast or design something or boost the views on your OnlyFans. And I was thinking of see if I can get somebody to maybe design a logo for me, but I want to do a rough sketch of it first. And I've got a program on my Mac that should help me with that, and then I'll just give it to the person, and there you go, hang on to it. I love sake. I drink like half a bottle when I do these podcasts. I'm surprised I'm not, you know, face down on the floor afterwards. I love sake. Sake is just fantastic. But yeah, I was trying to think of a logo, because, you know, eventually I wanted to do the whole merchandise thing. You know, I don't want to do like Alex Jones with the supplements. That's kind of weird, but, you know, maybe hats, shirt, that type of thing. Key rings, bottle openers. You know, it'd be a simple, like, what's that website? Etsy or whatever, or Cafe Press, and just, you know, you build up enough of an income stream, and the whole concept behind that is build up like a passive one. And that's kind of like what I want to do. you know, a nice little passive income stream to where I can just pretty much do the podcast as my main job. That'd be great. But, you know, whatever will be, and that type of thing. But, you know, gotta start working on it. You gotta work on things. And so I have a friend named Haley, and she's like an aspiring model, YouTube influencer type of thing. And it, what do you properly call those people? Like, is YouTube influencer, like, an actual job? I mean, I don't know. But she has her own Discord channel, too. It's pretty good. Hang on, I'm trying to see, because I want to give her stuff a plug. Where is she? Haley, where are you, Haley? There she is. Haley Dietrich is her nom de plume. She's an aspiring model actress. She works out a lot. She's a caffeine addict. If you go on Instagram, it's _ Haley Dietrich _. So it's HaileyDietrich. She plays Fortnite. Apparently she's very good at Fortnite. I tried playing Fortnite. I couldn't, you know, I got Fortnite so I could play with her, and I just couldn't get into it. I'm more of a League of Legends type thing, or a first-person shooter, like Unreal Tournament 2004 is always going to be my go-to game, but I just couldn't get into Fortnite. I don't know, but she's apparently very good at it. I mean, I play GTA 5 online because I like trolling people. Like, I'll look for people who are setting up a heist or something, and I'll show up in a tank and kill them all and just ruin their day. Because, you know, I'm just that type of person. But now, Haley is very good at Fortnite. But the reason I'm bringing Haley up is that she's very, you know, she's American, you know. She's a Caucasian. Can you say white girl? Can you say white person anymore? I don't even know. Yeah, she's a white girl. Very, very good looking. Very nice person too. I like her a lot, but she's really into K-pop. You know what K-pop is? It's Korean pop music. Like, she's really, really, really into K-pop. And I remember, I think it was last year sometime, they were trending K-pop on Twitter. For some reason, they were trying to run political interference or something, or I don't remember the whole story because I'm trying to blot all that out of my memory. But she's really into K-pop, like really, really, really into K-pop, and she's really into this guy. His stage name, or I don't know if this is his real name, but he goes by Lucas. He's Korean. He's a K-pop guy. I don't even know if he's Korean. I thought he was from Taiwan. But anyway, he's in a K-pop group called NCT. And this is the band that Haley is, like, really, really into. And Lucas is, I don't know if he's the main singer or if he's just whatever, but the K-pop, apparently K-pop is, like, really, 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 really huge. Like, it is a big, 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 big thing. Okay, Lucas's mom is Thai. Okay, so she's from Thailand. All right, so the K-pop is huge. It's, like, gigantic. Not just overseas, but it's starting to get really big here. Really, 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 really big here. And it's, I'm gonna play this, some of this for you. Off my, so this is a K-pop song called The Seventh Sense, I guess. Here, listen to this. So that's what she's into, that whole thing. But it's huge. It's like worldwide, and it's I guess you can't fault people for liking a certain type of music. I mean, it's kind of catchy, and there's more than one K-pop band. I mean, there's like, I guess, dozens of them, and I guess there's female K-pop singers too, but I didn't know there was a difference, because apparently there's J-pop, which is Japanese, and K-pop, which is Korean. Now, if you've ever met a Korean or a Japanese person, if you mistake them for one or the other, they will literally flat out go Kill Bill on your ass. Seriously, they will kill you. It's like calling somebody Sicilian Italian. They will kill you and your entire family for even suggesting it. You know, it's like, you just don't do that. Sicily may be part of Italy, but they do not consider themselves Italian at all. And Koreans and Japanese, I mean, they normally hate each other. That whole region hates each other. What are you going to do? But it's big here. It's big in the United States. It's big everywhere. But it's kind of catchy. And the dancers and stuff, I mean, they're really fit. And I'm kind of jealous. They all have like, they don't just have six packs. They have like eight packs. It's like 1% body fat. They must like work out like 6 hours a day. And they have really, really highly choreographed dance moves. Like, impressively choreographed. Like, I'm not talking like J-Lo or Britney Spears level shit. I mean, some of the stuff I've seen these K-pop guys do is like triple level, man. Like gold standard stuff. Like the synchronization and everything is unreal. But apparently it's very popular. K-pop isn't like hardcore rap. It's not going to offend anybody with its lyrics or its content. I mean, it may offend people because, it's the music or the fact that it's in a different language, or it's kind of like, I don't want to say sugary or anything, but it's different. And especially Americans, they have a hard time dealing with things they don't know about or they don't understand. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, it's kind of happy. It's kind of bouncy. I mean, it's got really good bass lines in it. And a lot of these tracks, when they drop the beat, they drop it hard. And it's pretty good. But I'm not an expert in it. And, Haley's probably listening to this just making bullet points of mistakes I've made talking about the music. But I'm not an expert. It's not like I'm talking about something I'm an expert in. It's just, it's just an observation. But it's, I've never been to Korea. Korea looks nice. I mean, once you've been in Tokyo at night with the neon and everything, there's really nothing better. As far as, like, a visual thing, I mean, Monaco is the gold standard. Tarpon Springs, Florida. But Tokyo at night with the neon and just everything that's here, the Plenko, the anime district, I mean, everything, the shops, the music, it's just unreal. It's all visual. People, human beings are visual creatures. We base most of our opinions and ideas on things we see, then things we hear, then things we can touch, smell, taste. But we're visual. We're very, very visual creatures. And, Tokyo at night is something you really have to experience at least once in your life. You really should. So it's a visual thing. I mean, I was sitting in a bar in Honduras, and a very, very, very famous A-list musician that if I dropped his name, everybody in the United States, everybody would be like, oh my God, what is he doing there? Walks in with his guitar and asks the bar manager, can he play a couple, can he play a set? And this is somebody who's, him and his band would fill a stadium of like 80,000 people within like 6 hours. You know, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all that stuff. It's just him and the guitar, because he was vacationing, and he wanted to play, and he just walks in and shows up. So, no auto-tunes, no explosions, no light show, just him and the guitar. I love that stripped-down thing. That's one of the few things MTV ever got right, was MTV Unplugged, where they did everything unplugged, and it was live. And I remember when it had LL Cool J on, I'm like, how are they going to do, like, rap unplugged? But damn if LL Cool J didn't pull it off. I mean, he pulled it off. I mean, the unplugged version of Mama Said Knock You Out is just one of the most incredible things you'll ever hear. But K-pop isn't like that. K-pop is all visual, it's all lights, it's all choreographed, it's all set pieces. It is what it is. You can like both. Just because you like one doesn't mean you have to denigrate or insult the other. I love stripped down, live type of musical concerts. Just the band or the singer and a couple instruments and that's it. No nothing. Not even a mixer. Just plug everything into Marshall amps and go. But I can also appreciate something like K-pop. I guarantee you if I went to a K-pop concert, I would be like, holy crap, this is like the best stuff. Because I love all that visual stuff. I love neon. I love the lights. I love choreography. I love all that. But you can like both. And I've seen online and I've talked to so many people who look at things like K-pop or J-pop or anything and go, oh my God, that's like not music. That's all flash. It's horrible. It's not. It's not. Because it's a different type of thing. And you can like the stripped down, unplugged musical performances, concerts. And you can like the things like K-pop or J-pop or trance or dubstep, you know, which I like. You can like both. There's no law that says you can't. And people get into these musical pigeonholes. And they won't accept one or the other. It's got to be, this is it. Everything else is horrible. You know, type of thing. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. I don't like Frank Zappa. I never got into his music. I don't understand his lyrics. I don't think he's as talented as everybody said he was. I think a lot of it is just, it's kind of like modern art. Like, if you go to New York or L.A., it's only a select group of people who declare, yes, this is artistic. And then everybody else listens to them because, oh, they must be an expert because they have an art degree type of thing. It was the same thing with Zappa. A couple music critics said, oh, my God, this guy's brilliant. And everybody said, well, they're really well-regarded music critics. They must be right. I don't think so. I think Zappa is just completely overrated and whatever. But if you want to like Frank Zappa, go right ahead, man. I'm not going to denigrate you. I just don't see, I don't see the hype. I don't see what the big deal is. But I'm not going to insult the guy. I'm not going to say, oh, this stuff's crap and it should be banned or it's garbage or people that listen to him are stupid. I don't like it. I don't like veal, but you want to eat veal, go right ahead. I don't like cauliflower or broccoli, but my mother does, and I love my mother, so let her eat cauliflower and broccoli. I don't care. But for a lot of people with music or even life, I like this, and you're not allowed to like anything else because I'm going to look down on you because what I like is the right thing. That's bullshit. Come on. Really? Like, expand your horizons. There's nothing wrong with K-pop. There's nothing wrong with J-pop. There's nothing wrong with trance or dubstep. And there's nothing wrong with Frank Zappa or the Beatles or Leadbelly or John Lee Hooker or Lefty Frizzell or Hank Williams Sr. There's nothing wrong with any of them. Music is fantastic. in all of its forms, except rap. I hate rap. Rap should be banned. See? Gotcha. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Do not go anywhere, or I will find you and hunt you down.
Is this on?
Yeah.
This is Oscar Jackson at Oscar Jackson's Used Car Emporium on Chickenhead Road near the Piggly Wiggly. You got a lot of really good deals on cars. You know, we finance anybody because, you know, you're pretty much all dirt poor white trash. You know, I'll take Snap, EBT. Yeah, you bring me a case of Fireball, you know, I'll probably trade you for something. But this week, we have a special here. We're going to have a random drawing. So, anybody who comes to buy a car, yeah, you get a ticket. And at the end of the day, I'm going to put all the tickets in a hat. It's a Confederate Army hat. It's my great-grandpappy. He fought at Gettysburg. I'm going to pull the winning ticket out of the hat. And the winner gets to go to a funny car races and dragsters and quarter mile stuff at the track in Orlando. And they have jet cars and they got funny cars and dragsters and they got motorcycles with rocket engines. And they do all the quarter mile racing. So anybody who buys a car, you get that ticket. And I draw the winner, and then, you know, I think the race is in about a week, and then you'll be my guest, and we're gonna go down there and watch the races, the quarter mile drag strip. So come on down and get a fine quality used car from Oscar Jackson's Used Car Emporium, and get a ticket. You might possibly win a free trip to the quarter mile races to see the funny cars, the dragsters, and the jet cars. So to reiterate, so there's no misunderstanding, if you come down to Oscar Jackson's Used Car Emporium and buy a car, I'm going to take you to a drag show. Yep, you and I are going to go to a drag show. It's a very manly thing to do. We're gonna go to a drag show, and we're gonna have a great time. And thank you. And God bless the Confederacy.
Hey, welcome back, victims of fun. I just finished my sake. You know, sake's good. You ever have sake? Rice wine. I don't know how popular it is in the U.S., but, you know, here, you know, everybody drinks it. I have a whole sake, like, set thing going on, you know. I got the wooden cups and the sake shot glass, and it's good with sushi and, you know, everything else like that. It's pretty good. I like it. You know, I was talking about, you know, making some techno stuff in an FL studio, but, you know, when I was younger, I always wanted to be a bluesman, you know, sing the blues and stuff, and I got my harmonica here, and, you know, I also write songs, I write a lot of songs, and I've got some, like, blues songs, and, you know, the thing about the blues is you can write the blues about anything. And you could like not be able to find your TV remote and you could write a blues song about it. You know? You're out of peanut butter, you write a blues song about it. You stubbed your toe. You know, you gotta get a prostate exam, I don't know, you got an ingrown toenail, you write a blues song about it. You can write a blues song about anything. I mean, seriously, and here's the thing, I'm not disparaging real blues singers and stuff who put a lot of heart and soul into it and everything. But the blues is one of those type of genres that if it causes you pain or heartache, you can write a song about it. I mean, seriously, I mean, it's not that difficult. Let me see what I can do. I'm going to try to improv a blues song here. Now, I don't really, I'm not a very good harmonica player. I was, but I haven't picked up the harmonica. I don't really play much anymore, and let me see if I can improv something. I have two really cool Suzuki harmonicas. I have a Suzuki Bluesmaster, and I have a Suzuki Promaster. The Promaster is in a D chord, and the Bluesmaster is in the E. Let me see if I can think of a, what would be a good title. What causes you to blues? Alright, here you go. So I was at the beach the other day, and there was sand everywhere. So maybe I could do a blues song about sand. You know? Went to the beach, da na 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 na. Sand everywhere. Alright, here, let's try this. I'm gonna try to do the, you know, da na 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 na. I don't really know the correct notes on harmonica for it, and I'm not gonna pull it up to see where the mouth position is, so I'm just gonna, I mean, we're not doing this seriously, so just looks like, there you go. I went to the beach yesterday. I went to the beach. I was there all day. Got sand in my feet. Got sand in my toes. Got sand in my hair. Sand up my nose. Oh yeah. I got sand. I got sand everywhere. I got sand everywhere, yeah, baby. Got sand in my underwear. See, look at that. I just improv that. You know, sand in my underwear. There you go. It's a blues song. See, you give me like a day, I could actually professionally mix it, play the notes correctly, throw it on iTunes. There you go. That's the blues. That's the sand in my underwear. Okay, so now everybody's looking at me like, what the hell is this gaijin? That's what they call Westerners here. Like, what the hell is this gaijin doing? It's just playing a harmonica at the... Okay, now Mr. Fujiwara is looking at me and he's like giving me a thumbs up. So, yeah, that's good. Yeah, I know. What? All right, the ramen blues. He said you should do the ramen blues. Yeah, I like my harmonicas. It's I wish I had taken the effort to actually really learn how to play them, because harmonicas are cool, man. And that was the D. This is the E. See, I mean, it's pretty cool. I got, you know, I should really learn how to play that. But I always wanted a diddly bow. A diddly bow is a one-string guitar. And you can make them out of cigar boxes. And they sound really, really dirty and raw. Like, Mississippi Delta Blue raw. Like, that real screechy stuff that Lead Belly used to play. Yeah. Diddly bows have that, you know. If you hear somebody playing a diddly bow, it's like, it's like you're in some smoky club in Alabama and you're the only white person there. And, you know, you got the blues guy up there in his suit. You know, and just, it, you know, fireball and whiskey everywhere. And that's the type of mute. That's what it sounds like. Like, it's like, certain sounds can transport you places, and the sound of a diddly bow is just really raw and screechy, which I love. I mean, it's pretty good. Yeah, maybe I'll do a blues album. You know, the I'm doing the podcast blues type of thing. Which would be, you know, if you're a blues artist and you want your stuff played, hey man, email it to me, victimsoffun@mail.com. I'll play it. You know, I was thinking of doing an episode where I just spin records. Almost like, you know, hey, I'm a DJ, like I'm Casey Kasem. This week on American Top 40, and you know what, I used to listen to American Top 40 when I was a kid, and I never liked the fact that Casey always talked over the beginning of the song, and then you always cut the last 30 seconds of the song off to do the exit. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I want to hear the beginning, I want to hear the end. That he would always talk over the beginning, and he would always, like, yeah, he would always, 30 seconds before the end, he would jump in. You know, and that was this song this week on American Top 40. It's just, if you're a DJ, just introduce a song and then hit play. And when the song's over, then you start talking. Especially these morning drive people who constantly talk over the songs and think it's funny to make comments about the song in the middle of the song. I can't stand it. It's just, it's horrifying. I have no use for these morning DJ people. They're just, oh God, I think I told you about this once. We're a guy in Florida, Rick Stacey. He's got to be the worst morning DJ on the planet. You know, if I owned a radio station, you would not have a morning drive comedian DJ at all. No. I would never have anything like that. Because usually those guys are like failed stand-up. And so they go and, you know, they get a broadcasting license and they get hired to do their lame jokes on the radio because they couldn't make it in stand-up. You know, they got thrown out of Catch a Rising Star or whatever. Yeah, it's like, I mean, I'm a pretty funny guy, but I wouldn't do morning drive. That's pretty bad. Yeah, it's just, it's dumb. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But yeah, I was thinking about doing an episode where I just spin records. I don't know if I can get away with, like, I gotta look at the rules for Anchor and Spotify to see if I'm actually allowed to do that, because I have the listener support thing going. Even though nobody's paid me yet. Hint, hint. I have the listener support thing going, and I don't know if I can take listener support money if I'm playing copyrighted music. I mean, I don't know. I could play it in the background. But, and a friend of mine the other day said I should do a simulcast. Like, live while I'm doing this, and like, well, I can't because I do some pre-production on this, like the commercials I have to pre-produce and pre-make, and you know, I do stop when I do the breaks so I can edit in the commercials. I have to put in an opening and an exit, and I have to do all the bumpers and everything, and it's not something I can live stream, you know, like Joe Rogan or Bill Burr or something. I can't actually do that. But, you know, I do have a, I used to have a Twitch channel. I don't know if it's even active anymore. I could start up another one. And maybe do like a live once a month video podcast, maybe. I just don't like the way I look on camera. So I was thinking maybe I could just do it with puppets. You know, just have a hand puppet. And the hand puppet would do the speaking. Well, I mean, I would do the speaking. And the hand puppet would be moving its mouth, actually talking. But that means I have to, like, crouch down below my desk. And, you know, my knees are shot. And I don't know if I can do that or not. But it's worth thinking about. I don't like being on camera. Even though I've been on camera. Even though I've been in TV commercials. I'm not comfortable with it. But I'm thinking a lot, but, you know, a live Twitch stream of, or maybe a once-a-month YouTube live podcast thing with the puppet. But I'd have to get a puppet. I mean, I guess I could do it. I guess it's just, see, I'd want the puppet to actually talk and, like, you know, move its head around and everything. So it'd have to be, like, a hand puppet type thing. But, which means I'd have to be moving it, which means I'd have to position my body so that the camera's on the puppet, but all the audio stuff is on me. And I have to make sure that my hand is always pointing towards the camera with the puppet. I guess I could do it. Let me just see here. I don't know, because I don't want to be on camera. But I don't trust anybody else to run the puppet, because I'm the one that's going to be talking, and I should run the puppet. I could pre-record the podcast, and then just the puppet could lip-sync it, but, you know, then it leaves me no room to improv, and I'm all about improv. You see, when I do these podcasts, I don't know what I'm going to say until I actually start recording. I don't even have an outline or a bunch of cards with topics or things to talk about. I just go. That's why sometimes you hear a pause for like 10, 15 seconds. I'm trying to gather my thoughts on what I'm going to say next. You know, I'm trying to censor what I'm going to say because, you know, sometimes the stuff I want to say, you know, is funny, but it would probably get me thrown off the air or I'd get canceled, you know, because it's a whole cancel culture thing now, and I don't want to do that. Maybe I can do a puppet. I'll have to test it. Like, I guess tomorrow I can set it up with just my hand just to see if I can get it to work. Then I gotta find a puppet somewhere. It's gotta be a good puppet. I don't want a stupid puppet, you know. I have to go on eBay and look for hand puppets. You know, what could be my hand puppet for my podcast? You know, maybe a snake or something. I don't know. And then do it live on Twitch or on YouTube. Now, I don't know how many people are going to watch that type of thing, but, you know, I think the more things you do, the more fingers you put in the pie, the better chance that you're going to get it. Like, you do the podcast, and you have merchandise, and then maybe you do a simulcast, you know, on Twitch or YouTube, or you do a completely new one and just video, you know, whatever. But you do it live. Maybe a website. I have the Anchor website, but maybe my own, like, type of thing. I already have a Facebook page. I have an Instagram. I don't know. I gotta see. Type of thing. You know, I don't want to overload myself by putting too many things out there, and then I can't get a handle on it. You know, I got too many things running at the same time, and I can't devote enough time to all of them. You know, right now the podcast is the most important thing. I have to build up an audience, and then that's probably the most logical way to do it, is to build up an audience and then expand into doing like a live YouTube or Twitch video cast once a month or whatever. Yeah, merchandise, and then, you know, Facebook. I gotta start doing promotion too, and I'm horrible at promotion. I guess I could go on Fiverr and pay somebody. My great promotion idea was having business cards made up and just start leaving them everywhere. But I don't want to litter. And I don't want people to go, oh God, you know, what's this? Why is this here? And then next thing you know, I get in trouble. I don't want to do that. I wish I could hire somebody who knew how to promote stuff, but I don't want to pay. Just, you know, like I said, I got to do everything myself, you know. If I had a wife or a kid, you know, I'd make them do it, but I don't have that, so I'm kind of stuck. I just gotta promote myself, you know? It's the only way you build an audience, it's the only way you build listeners, it's the only way I'm gonna make money. And that's the whole thing, making money. I guess we'll see. I gotta figure something out. But it's It's not as easy as I thought when I started this, that it would be just like turn the microphone on and go, but there's a lot more to it than that. I mean, there's not much more to it, but there's more to it. I can only imagine what somebody like Joe Rogan or Bill Burr or any other podcast people go through. You know, the ones that are really, really famous, what the amount of work that goes into it must be something, you know. But yeah, it's, well, eventually maybe I'll get there someday. And if I don't, you know, I enjoy doing it. And the few people that listen, if they get enjoyment out of it, that's great. And you can email me at victimsoffun@mail.com. Or make sure you hit the supporter button. Throw me some cash. I mean, really, what are you going to do with your money? You're going to blow it on stupid stuff. You might as well give it to me. Give me $5 a month as a regular contributor. And just, you'll sleep better at night knowing that you are contributing to a quality podcast full of interesting talk and interesting ideas that keep you entertained. I mean, how much do you spend at McDonald's? How much do you spend at Starbucks? How much was that pack of cigarettes? You know? $5 a month. What's wrong with that? Just sign up. Give me money. Was that one episode of Al Bundy where he married with children? Did Dr. Shu and he did the TV commercial and he was begging people to call him up. He's like, well, just send me money. It's charity, for God's sake. I missed that show. My dad loved that show. That show was great. I heard rumors they were going to do a Married with Grandchildren, like one-off. Well, not one-off, but like six episodes just to... Because the Married with Children never had a proper final episode. And they really needed one. And I heard that they were thinking about doing one Married with Grandchildren, where it was going to be like four or five episodes to just wrap everything up. And it was basically going to be Al and Peggy, you know, older. Kelly's married, has a kid. You know, Bud is doing his thing. The neighbors, all that stuff. And they were going to, you know, they're going to... Something about Kelly's husband dies or leaves her or something and she moves back home and now you got a grandkid running around. That would be funny. Married with Children was fantastic. You couldn't make a show like that today. It would get, you know, certain people's heads would explode. You know, like Blazing Saddles. Good Lord, you could never make that movie today. And it's one of the, and you know, the other thing about Blazing Saddles is, you know, they're trying to, I guess that's next on the whole cancel Target thing. That they want to cancel it. These people, these self-righteous people who get all, you know, because of the content, because of the language used and everything. And they think because of the use of certain terms in Blazing Saddles, these self-righteous people think that it's racist. And when it's actually one of the most anti-racist movies probably ever made. But, you know, they don't have the intelligence or the sense of humor to see that. I mean, I remember reading something where they made the movie and Mel Brooks showed it to members of the NAACP because he wanted to not get their approval, but he wanted to explain the context and what was going on. And supposedly, the members of the NAACP watched it. Didn't need to be explained at all because they understood exactly what was going on. They thought the movie was hysterical. They understood that it was an anti-racist movie. They had no issues with it, and they actually thought it was one of the best movies they ever saw. It was the same thing with Tropic Thunder when they made it and they put Robert Downey Jr. in blackface, and he gets... The idea behind that was... It was poking fun at celebrities that go too far in living their character. Robert Downey Jr.'s character in the movie within the movie is an African-American. And so Robert Downey Jr.'s character gets this special surgical procedure that dyes his skin black. And he adopts black vernacular speech and gets himself a Jerry Curl or Afro and the whole thing. And he thinks he's black. He's so into the part that he actually believes he's a black guy. And there's an actual black guy in the movie, as part of the movie within the movie, who's like, "You're not black." And he's like, "You know, the hell I'm not. I'm black." You know, and everything. And he starts listing all the things that he likes. And it's stereotypical stuff like collard greens and ham hocks. And the black guy, the real African-American, is like, "Not all of us eat that stuff. You know, what are you talking about?" And then Downey Jr.'s character starts quoting the Jeffersons, the theme song, like, "Moving on up to the east side." And the other black guy, the real black guy, is like, "Dude, you're quoting the Jeffersons. That's not Martin Luther King." And it's just... But the whole point was, it was showing how stupid and crazy, you know, actors can be when they go too far with their roles. Well, they did it, and I remember reading, and you can read about this, and Ben Stiller, who made the movie and wrote it, and Robert Downey Jr., they were getting a lot of controversy from the NAACP and other black organizations about, because nobody knew why he was in blackface. And when they finished the film, before they released it, he showed it to those people, to the members of the civil rights groups who were angry over it. And I remember reading that to the person, they all thought it was the most hysterical thing they ever saw, and they totally understood what was going on as far as what they were trying to point out by Robert Downey Jr. being in blackface. And it wasn't blackface like Al Jolson in A Jazz Singer, where he just had shoe polish on. And it's obvious he's in a minstrel show. Robert Downey Jr. actually looks black in this film. I mean, the makeup is just incredible. But they understood what the filmmakers were trying to represent. And so they were okay with it. And they actually thought it was hysterical. But, you know, they're trying to cancel that too. And it's funny because, you know, I don't like getting political on the show, because you're always going to make somebody angry, no matter what. But usually the people who get bent out of shape and want to cancel stuff because it's perceived racism against a minority are actually white. White liberals. They're the ones who are saying that this stuff is oppressive, this stuff is racist, and this stuff should be banned. 9 times out of 10, it's them. They're the ones that get Aunt Jemima and Mrs. Butterworth and Uncle Ben's canceled. They're the ones that get the Land O'Lakes Native American on the butter thing canceled. Now, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it was Aunt Jemima. So, was it Mrs. Butter? No, it was Aunt Jemima. So, Aunt Jemima is gone. She's no longer on the syrup bottle. Because these woke, they're called, white liberals were complaining that it was oppressive to African Americans. And there's a systematic racism, which is their catchword. And they pressured the company to remove it. And so the company, being cowards, instead of standing up to them and telling them that they can take a bottle of Mrs. Butterworth and shove it up their you-know-what, which is what they should have done, says, "Okay, Aunt Jemima's gone." Well, guess what? Aunt Jemima was actually a real person. I forget her real name and everything, but she was a real person, and she was one of the first self-made black female millionaires in America because of the whole thing with the syrup. And she was a real person. And a lot of the money, because they paid her family royalties all this time because they're using her likeness, most of the money went to support black colleges and black community organizations and everything else. So these woke people who got Aunt Jemima canceled just took money away from these black organizations because they were offended by it. I mean, that's absolutely just the most batshit insane thing that has ever happened. I mean, that's... And I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, or a liberal conservative. That was stupid. How could you claim to be championing the cause of African Americans and then take away something that was directly benefiting the African American community? But yet they did it, and they had no problem doing it. And to them, they won because they got Aunt Jemima canceled. But you know who lost? All the African-American students and kids and families who benefited from the money that was being funneled to the community organizations and the colleges. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous. It's just absolutely... Now, I remember growing up, there used to be a chain in Florida called Sambo's, and that was racist. And Sambo's was just... You know, old Jim Crow South type of, like, mascot and everything else. And I remember eating there as a kid when we would vacation in Florida. And, you know, being a kid, you don't know what this stuff means. But, yeah, Sambo's was racist, and they got rid of it, and rightfully so. There was no reason to get rid of Aunt Jemima. I remember when they removed the Land O'Lakes Native American woman from the butter. All they did was take her picture out, and somebody on Twitter commented, "Oh, that's typical. They removed the Indian, but they kept the land." Because the land on the box of the butter stayed there. They just took her out. So they said, yeah, typical. They removed the Indian and kept their land. Yeah, that's... And there you go. It's just... And I don't... And again, conservative, Democrat, Republican, you know, liberal, whatever. There are some things that just defy stupidity. I don't care what political side you're on. You know, I'm very liberal on some things, I'm very conservative on others. Because some things are important to me that a typical liberal would support, and some things are important to me that a typical conservative would support. Because I don't go by the label of either one of them. I pick and choose my own values and my own views, and that's what they are. But everybody wants to be put into one of two camps. And believe me, the Nazis used to put people in camps, and you saw how utterly horrible that was. Well, come on. You need to think for yourself. You don't follow the crowd. You don't follow the herd, because then you're a lemming. And you're going to go off the cliff with everybody else. Think for yourself. Have your own views. Have your own values. Plant your feet in the ground and don't move. Yeah. I don't like getting political, but some things just really just anger me. Everybody should just love each other. Like, multiple times a day. Alright, so we're going to end it for tonight. And, we'll be back. I hope you all have a nice evening. Thank you for listening to Victims of Fun. Thank you for Anchor for providing the best podcast software on the planet. It's very easy to use. All the tools are right there. It's available on mobile or desktop, on the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. You set up your own podcast in 10 minutes. They will distribute it to 7 or more podcast distribution sites, and you can monetize it and make yourself some money. Or you can go to Anchor FM and download it. Check out Victims of Fun online. Check out Victims of Fun on Facebook. It's Victims of Fun. Check out Victims of Fun on Instagram. It's Victims of Fun. Give me an email at victimsoffun@mail.com. Hit the listener support button. Send me some money, because I need it more than you do. All right, y'all have a nice evening. Remember to love each other. Thank you.